All right. Welcome to the monthly forum call. Sometimes we call this Ponderings with Pat. You are now in mute, so if you try to say anything and we don't hear you, we're not ignoring you. And we are recording this call for people who couldn't make it. I know we had a great interest in the topic. 75 or more people signed up, and others always listen to the recording later. So welcome to those here in live time and those of you who listen to this later in the week. I've been excited about doing something different, and I'm going to give you a little bit of mini, I don't want to call it a lecture, but an informational chatter from me about why I chose this topic. And I want to say out front that today's call is less about techniques to use in coaching, although it will have an influence, and more about you, the coach. So it's more about your self-awareness, your awareness of states of mind, states of being. And as you know, with the philosophy that we teach at ILCT with a whole person approach, it will certainly influence who you are from the inside out. And it also gives you a lot of information that you can choose to share with a client when you're not in coaching mode, but when you're in teaching mode or some other kind of thing. Just like you might teach a technique of time management for somebody that could use it. You shift your hat. I know that's not coaching. It's not what we teach. But if you shift your hat and put on the teacher hat, it's perfectly fine. These techniques that come from David Hawkins' book, Power versus Force, and I shouldn't say techniques. It's a combination of techniques and an interesting philosophy. When I first heard about this about 10 years ago, I remember Lynn Meinke and I think Lisa Kramer, some of our former teachers, and I somehow all got wind of this at the same time and just found it fascinating. If you haven't read the book or looked at the book or read about summaries online, it is written by David Hawkins, who has since transitioned from this earth. He passed away a few years ago, but he wrote like 11 books on this philosophy. David Hawkins was an MD psychiatrist and also a PhD. So he's well learned, and even though these theories, if you look them up and do some reviews, they're certainly controversy, but there always isn't anything cutting edge. And I think when I first heard about this, let me describe first. For those of you who don't know, who just came for interest, his books are about what he called applied kinesiology. And power versus force is a kind of a metaphorical label of learning how to recognize where our power comes from and how sometimes we may try to force things to happen when we're not in the right state. And that also happens with things that we put in our body, things we do to ourselves. So this is really about learning the power within that we have as an energy being on this earth. Now, I can hear my oldest daughter right now, if she was listening to me, she goes, oh, Dad, there you go with your woogity-boogity stuff. So what I like about David Hawkins' writings is he makes what some people might call woogity-boogity very scientific. He's got a lot of research that goes to it. And the basis is that we are at certain energy levels based on our emotional state, our spiritual belief state. You might be thinking about life purpose and working on that. That's a different state. And we ascribe energy levels to that, similarly to that which one might recognize in, say, acupuncture, that 25, 30 years ago, acupuncture was this new woo-woo thing, and they were going, I don't understand this, but when Harvard University tested with electrodes, the acupuncture points did have more intense energy concentrations, even though they couldn't explain how healing occurred based on acupuncture. There was something different, something unique. And when I think back to my graduate studies, I studied in humanistic and transpersonal psychology in the late 60s, early 70s, and I got certified to use biofeedback when I first opened my psychology practice. So I was doing a lot of biofeedback for people to learn relaxation, stress management. We use it a lot with young kids to learn to have what today is called mindfulness, a different state of awareness on purpose. And I was taught growing up in science that we had the autonomic nervous system that we couldn't control, like heart rate, blood pressure, et cetera. And yet with meditation strategies and then also biofeedback strategies, it began to be proven that you could actually learn to control your heartbeat and your breathing. And then people who became masterful in that could reduce their heart rate to a minimal level and yet still be conscious, but be in like an alpha or theta state of brain waves. So all that said, that the cutting edge of scientific knowledge and awareness is oftentimes seen as controversial, but if there's something that grabs you, like there's something about this, I don't know about proving it in every laboratory of the world, but this applied kinesiology of Hawkins' work has been given a lot of research strategies and experiments to it. So for those of you who want to read more, the first book in their very readable book is Power versus Force by David Hawkins. There's another book I just took a course on from a coach colleague of mine called Letting Go. And it really is about overcoming and moving beyond emotional states that block us. So in the books, you'll see a thing called the levels of consciousness. And those are, if you think of this, shame, guilt, apathy, grief. If you're kind of overwhelmed with those emotions, on a 1,000-point scale, those would be anywhere from 20 to 100. And then fear, desire, anger, and pride are under 200. Now, this is a scale he developed, but he measured all sorts of things in the history of evolution of mankind, with objects, with energy levels, et cetera. And what he states is, once you reach courage, the level of courage, 200 on this level of consciousness, then you're into positive territory and can move to other things like acceptance and the ability to reason, love, unconditional love, joy, peace, and then finally enlightenment. So I sent to Amy earlier today this level of consciousness chart, and we'll post that or put that in the newsletter, a link for people can find that. And there's a very long 62-page PDF file on David Hawkins. But I would encourage any of you more curious after this call to look up David Hawkins' YouTube, because there's a lot of YouTube videos. Some are short, some are long, some are him lecturing, some are people talking about him. And then later on, I'm going to tell you about another website for doing muscle testing. So here's the story. Applied kinesiology is also called muscle testing. And when I first came across this outside the book, I was at a lecture with, my friend and colleague Wayne Dyer, who just passed away, I think, just under 2 weeks ago. Wayne did a keynote address at the ICF conference in Phoenix many, many years ago, and then I heard him again at an Orlando event and got to know him. I can't say we were friends, but he knew of me, and I certainly knew of him. Wayne Dyer did an experiment with the audience that day. There was like 500 people in this audience, and he had put out packets of blank manila, little manila folders, like 2 inches by 2 inches. And in one folder was pure sugar, and in another packet was organic vitamin C. And we all had these random packets. We were supposed to find a partner and do this muscle testing. So I'm going to have you, if you haven't read the book, I'm going to have you try to visualize this. If you have a partner standing in front of you, looking at you, and you hold out your right arm, shoulder level, the partner will ask you a question like, is your name Doug? And if that's the truth, and they push down with 2 fingers on your right arm, you should be able to resist that. You would show muscular resistance because that's true. And then if you say, is your name Julie, and it's not, and they push down with 2 fingers, your muscle weakens and your arm will just go limp. What Wayne Dyer did was he had people hold the packet up to their heart level and do that same testing. If the person's arm went weak, they had the sugar. And if it held strong, they had the organic vitamin C. And when everybody reported later on those results, it was 100% experienced in that audience. Of the people who had the vitamin C had a strong muscular reaction of resistance, and the people who had the pure sugar had a weakening of the muscle. That's when my eyes opened. I mean, I'd read about it in the book, but I'd seen that. And I'll tell you now, in the skill of self-awareness, my wife and I often do muscle testing when we're buying supplements or getting ready to take something that, you know, you get some advertisement on TV and said that it's really boosts your energy or this, most of which is bogus. But every once in a while, we'll find a good a healthcare group that's got good research behind it. And what you do when you buy it is hold it up to your chest level, your heart level, and do the muscle testing. And you can not only find out if that is good for you, but is a combination with something else good for you. I went to a MD doctor over the years I lived in Colorado, a woman doctor who had trained with Andrew Weil, and she did that for things she wanted to prescribe to me. Not prescription drugs necessarily, but supplements and organic additives that you could buy. And I really appreciated that because I got my blood pressure lowered with never taking a blood pressure medication. So this is about self-awareness. And I want to encourage all of you to find ways to have a partner test things on you once in a while, or you can learn to test yourself. There is a website I'm going to tell you to look at because I watched a video this morning of the guy who has this. It's called testyourself.info, I-N-F-O. And there is a very simple bar that you can buy there if you want to do it at home and test your muscle testing that way by the strength of pulling the bar apart. And I found it fascinating. I'm not recommending that I've done that before and tell you it absolutely works, but I look at the guy's reviews and I was very trustworthy of what he had on his site and what other people had said about him. So why muscle testing? Why would we do that? Well, you can not only do it about states of health or supplements that you're going to put in your body, or food that you're thinking of eating, but you can also do it with mindset, thoughts, and beliefs. If you find yourself stuck or have an emotional drainer going on, this is not too dissimilar to work that other people might do with thought field therapy, EFT with tapping. You know, some of that is supposed to be similar to acupressure points, if you haven't heard about tapping, emotional freedom technique is EFT. And then I've taken courses on chakra blocking and how to unlock chakra system throughout your body. There's something to the human core that is related to energy, and I don't think anybody would doubt that. In today's world of neurobiology and neuropsychology, people who hook up a human subject while they're being coached, or while they're meditating, or while they're going through a thought process change, the PET scanner will light up differently in that area of the brain that has insight, intuition. It changes their energy. So we're beginning to understand to a microcosm of a very, very small part of the brain that changes when we change our thoughts and our beliefs. And again, Wayne Dyer wrote many books about this and cited the wisdom of many teachers thousands of years ago. But his one book that I really liked was You'll See It When You Believe It. Instead of You'll Believe It When You See It, it was You'll See It When You Believe It. A lot of this goes into the same traffic we might talk about in terms of the attraction principle, which has been a big part of coaching, that you will attract that which you're seeking in your life, and you will not get that which you're wanting in your life. Because if you're wanting, you're going to continue to be in a state of wanting rather than receiving. So even the way that we know things, there's another way I want you to think about this is this non-ordinary sources of knowing. How do you know things now? How do you know about intuition? When you have an intuitive hit, when you have a thought that goes, I'm just strongly thinking about, you know, whatever it is, how do you know that? You know, sometimes you just know from your own experience, but we know a lot of things from non-ordinary sources. And I'm not talking about psychic phenomena, ESP, our dreams, et cetera. There's a lot of different ways that people learn things in non-ordinary ways, like conversation, reading, you know, thinking rationally, et cetera. So I want you to begin to think about ways that that is showing up in your life, ways that you can test yourself, and begin to think, do you have certain clients that you would use this with? Now, again, not in coaching, but as an added benefit, an added skill set that if you get comfortable with, you know, you simply would take a look and see if there's a way that you can use that as an educational or self-awareness opportunity for them. You know, now I'll be the first to admit, you got to be careful which client might be open to this, again, what my daughter called woogity-boogity stuff. But the more rapport you build with the kind of client you want to work with, what you're offering is an opportunity to look at non-ordinary ways of knowing, and you can actually make this fun. So just as an experiment, if you're in person with a client, let's try it. You know, have them hold up something that would be a dishonest statement and then hold up something that's an honest statement and see what happens to the muscle in their right arm. That's the best way to do it. Now, there's a few questions that people sent in that I want to also put in the record here. Anne writes, is there evidence-based research on the efficacy of this methodology? If so, what and where? David Hawkins actually cites a lot of research in his books, Power versus Force, and there's other people that have done research on this. So his books are well annotated, and I would urge you, even if you don't buy the book, to try to go online and find the bibliography. The PDF file that I sent out has a lot on this, and you can try to see if there's any other sites. The good news about Google today is you can find the good, the bad, and the ugly about this, but look at the source and see if there's people that have thought about it. Wow, so Joanne writes in, is this theory, oh, okay, I read this one. Is this theory a marriage of applied kinesiology and coaching? I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say yes and. Because let's say that you have a client that you do some sort of visioning retreat with or self-awareness retreat. I mean, a lot of coaches begin with getting to know your client, doing some things that are out-of-the-box exercises, getting to know them in a way that they know themselves differently. So if you did something with applied kinesiology and there was new awarenesses from that, the questions you ask the client are open-ended, powerful questions like, and what are you learning from that? Or what thoughts do you have differently as you notice this shift in energy? Or what happened to you when you found your arm going weak and you went, I don't believe it? So you would ask questions because I'm not teaching the person that's doing this with me what it means for them. What I'm saying is, it's interesting, your body is saying that that's not the right choice for you, or that there's something blocking there, or you're not at the level of love and acceptance. You're still down here in a little bit of fear. And then Jeannie asks, can you share how this can work by phone? You know, this is one that's hard because there are methods where a person can take one thumb and circle it around the other thumb and forefinger together, but and see if it pulls weak or strong, but I don't think this is possible to do by phone unless you did Skype. If you had the person do a Skype visual with you, then it's kind of over the internet or over Skype, but by phone, no. It's all you can do is follow up on the person's experience. And then Sharon writes, who says, as a professional organizer, I'm happy to have read this book. As a budding life coach, I am most interested in how I can marry motivation and achievement with the discernment between power versus force to create flow and self-actualization in a step-by-step manner. That's a beautiful question that's almost got some answers built within, because the idea of flow, too, that Csikszentmihalyi wrote about at Harvard or Yale, wherever he was, you know, there's a lot of that, too. And before he started talking about flow state, the only place you heard about that was in athletics and sports, like somebody just was in the zone. But now they've done a lot of research on what helps create flow and what neurological changes happen at that time. And of course, your statement about self-actualization goes way back to Maslow, and even before Maslow, some other theorists like Jung and Acciaiuoli and Gregory Bateson and others talked about that term to a degree. But that's what we're all about. I mean, in coaching, I'm not just about making a manager a better boss or a better manager. That's a limited goal. I'm about making everybody a more effective human being, more optimally living person. So if we can get to this kind of stuff, I think we're going to get there. Now, I could take a chance here and open the lines. I'm 20 minutes into giving you information. So, Amy, if you would unmute people, I want to give people a chance to ask some questions in real time. And if it's real noisy or if you're in a noisy background, I'm asking you to mute yourself with *6, or we'll just see if everybody can maintain quiet where you are. And now that the lines are open, if anybody has a question or comment about your experience with this, I'd be happy to have a discussion about that with people. What have you heard so far that spurred some thinking in you? Or is there a way that you've used this in your life before today? Anybody? Come on now. This is new thinking for people. What do you think about this power versus force and applied kinesiology?
Pat, it's Nava.
Yes.
So
yes, Nava.
You just mentioned that I have the book Power versus Force, as I mentioned, in front of me. And I kind of browsed through, and interestingly, I opened in the section that he describes the energy levels.
Yes.
And it's chapter 4, Level of Human Consciousness.
Yes.
And the first energy level that scores 20, which is the lowest, is shame. And I think it's interesting in light of the work that Brené Brown had done about shame.
Ah, yeah.
And how it holds us, and how that is one emotion that overtakes a person's life, basically, and almost a predicament. And also rings in my mind a prayer that the Jewish tradition has for every month. It's a new month, the beginning of the month prayer that says that it hopes that life will be without shame and guilt.
Shame, right. Wow.
Yeah,
thanks
so,
for reminding me.
It's the new moon prayer. So
yes.
I have something that I had written about it particularly, but I didn't, I knew about Brené Brown's work, but I didn't know how deep it is here, even in terms of the energy level, because when you think of shame, you think of a person who is curled up,
yes,
and like all inward and cannot really face the world.
Right.
So even in terms of energy, then it's all closed, nothing coming, nothing going.
I love that you said that, because if you all will get a copy of this chart, but it's the same chart that Nava just talked about. I've been reading Brené Brown's book in the last 2 years and got so excited about it, because for 10 years I have been wanting to write a book called Naked Living, Discovering Your Authentic Self. And it's about emotional nakedness. It's about finding the place, the time, the person, the environment where you can share what you don't share with everybody. You can share what you've buried, good and bad. The shadow isn't just bad stuff. But if people are going through life, like Brené Brown said, with shame, and then she wrote a lot about resilience and wholeheartedness. That we need to learn to be vulnerable. I mean, we are, you know, we have to find a place where our vulnerability can be safely shared with somebody. Then you move up this ladder. maybe you have shame, maybe you have a little guilt. They're usually tied together. Somebody who may be in a state of depression might be apathy or turn to anger, because hatred is often the other part of depression. I know in my own experience when, let's just take grief, which is fourth one up the level. When my wife lost her son at age 34, his age 34, not hers, that was a tragic event. A parent doesn't want to lose a son, but a 34-year-old son, I think we both said it took her, and it's been 8 years now, a good 5 years to not be so overwhelmed by grief that sometimes immobilized her. Now, every day was better and every year was better, but grief is something that holds you back, just like fear does, just like anger. And I'm not saying, like Nava, what you wisely stated, we're not in that state all the time. I mean, if we really are, then we need to be getting psychological guidance and some help to break out of it. But I think that's why a lot of people make their consciousness levels worse by drugs and by other addictions at the bottom level. And that's power, that's force. You know, you're forcing it instead of the power of what we have inside of us. So that's what David Hawkins was trying to get across. Thank you for that insight. That was great. I think Brené Brown's work is very consequential to this. Anybody else? Comment, question, curiosity?
Pat?
Yes.
This is Maya, and I'm familiar, very familiar with David Hawkins' work and with working with energy, but I have a question about the kinesiology. From experiences I've had, I think it's great, the experiment that Wayne Dyer did, sort of double blind or whatever, you don't know what's in the packets. But I've had experiences like with chiropractors who will muscle test me for, you know, a product that they're also selling, and I really feel like they're pushing harder on my arm. Or if you're muscle testing yourself, what keeps you from choosing the thing that you're addicted to or you want, or you know?
Right. Yeah, I can comment on that. I laugh too, because the first time I ever came aware of applied kinesiology way before reading this book was with a chiropractor trying to sell some weight loss product to or something. But, now, we're not saying all chiropractors do that, but I think there's an unconscious motivation.
Yeah.
If you believe in something so strongly, you may impart your belief to the other person. So there's a false belief, and your muscles may react in a way that you're trying to please the person, or you want to believe it so badly. So David Hawkins goes into some great detail in some of his books about how to test your own honesty. And it's very complicated, but I will say, don't trust yourself at first blush. You know, I think the test that Wayne Dyer did with sugar versus vitamin C was a nice, clear, not too many people would disagree with that. Now, that doesn't mean you don't eat sugar. We know we take sugar. Sugar's not all that bad. But is it good for the body? Well, not as good as organic vitamin C in that case.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to have a veracity of finding out, how do you even know that the way that you're testing is consistent? He recommends when two people, a friend and a colleague or your spouse, when you do it, don't make eye contact. And don't do it inconsistently. Try to have the same routine, the same two figures, the same pressure. It's a nuance of movement. But when you get something that is a direct hit, that your arm just goes limp, it seemed to move a little bit, then that's a little more clear. So I appreciate you raising that, and I think I would delve, take a deeper dive into some of the Google searches where you can find research on David Hawkins' techniques to prove truth versus lie. He's even got a lecture on that, of truth versus falsehood.
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially people who are, very skeptical of this method. I know it works, and I've had it work, but I also know when you're letting someone else test you. I mean, The unconscious, like another chiropractor, I think it was completely unconscious, but he would do an adjustment and then he would test to see if it held or if it was good. And of course, he wanted it to be effective. And so there were just times when it just really did feel like there was a different kind of pressure. He was, So I think it's important to know that there is that factor in there.
Right.
Yeah, like you said, repeating it with different people or different situations could help.
Right. Yeah, it's not Spock doing the Vulcan mind meld. It's really something we play with a little bit and use your intuition. But I want you all to understand this is something worth experimenting with, worth trying out. Again, this today's talk is more about you, less about your clients. You might be able to introduce it as you get more aware. But it's more about being curious about what are you finding out with maybe some mental states, some mindsets that you have. Is there anything that's blocking you in from anywhere from building your practice to feeling overwhelmed to a decision you have to make about moving or selling or buying? And just kind of see what happens with your mindset as you experiment with some of this. Somebody else started to say a comment, I believe. Anybody else? All right. Well, listen, here's what I'm going to suggest. This was one of those calls where I knew it could be a little less interactive. I can't really do a coaching demonstration on this, but I want to refer you to there's two handouts that I had sent to Amy. We'll try to put them in the newsletter or maybe the recording as a link when we send it out. You can look at them. The one is a 62-page PDF, so you may or may not want to read the whole thing. And then go to Google or YouTube and find YouTube videos of David Hawkins and hear him speak. Hear some other people do reviews of the work. You'll find both sides of the coin there. And you might just experiment with that testyourself.info. I myself ordered that bar that he advertised today. And because it does come with a guarantee if you don't like it. I'm interested in trying it out. I'm fitting this into my bailiwick of some recent training this last year I did with chakras and old work with Silva mind technique and biofeedback and meditation. Somewhere it's all about our energy system and our aura and what our body knows better if we give it a chance to inform us. So I hope you'll enjoy playing with this. I thank you all for coming today and for listening to the recording. And I would love to hear any feedback. You can post it on the ILCT Facebook page or the student page. If you want to write me directly, it's just pat@lifecoachtraining.com, pat@lifecoachtraining.com. And I hope you all have a beautiful rest of the day and go have some fun with muscle testing. Okay, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, thank you.
Bye, thank you so much, Pat.
You're welcome.